We had a new list with Mr. Singh at the top. Or was it Mr. Mare at the top? Yeah. Mr. Mare followed by Mr. Singh and then Mr. Mguni.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just two very, very quick ones. One of my questions has been answered during the tea break. Just to start, they have the first one they've responded.
You want to share that one? Both your question and the answer.
In terms of the disabled, I've said to SARS they have responded so incredibly well in terms of preempting all the questions. And now, in terms of the projected headcount, I want to put you a challenge to you. You just have to employ 100 people with disabilities. Then you should be on the 2% next time around. So hopefully you will take up that challenge.
And those that are there must not leave.
Yeah. Well. Normally, and one can see in terms of staff turnover that people with disabilities are normally very, very loyal and very slow turnover. So, very good people to employ. Just in terms of the threshold for VAT, this is more interesting. Whether you have experienced a lot of people that try to use that as an escape, also not to pay VAT. Because I've had quite a lot of people phoning me and say, do they have to pay VAT? Isn't it now R1 million? So, although we know that will be implemented from next year, whether that's an experience that you may be. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just want to follow up on the one question by colleague Mguni there on VAT and zero rating. And just ask SARS, if a decision is taken and the Deputy Minister is here, if a decision has to be taken that more items will be zero-rated food items, as we are calling for, and others, and Polokwane. IFP and Polokwane are calling for that. and the DA, sorry. Or if there is a differential rating, VAT rating, how difficult would it be for SARS to manage that process? That's the one question. Secondly is the whole airport thing, when we had people being followed from the airport and you had those forms, the customs forms. What has replaced it and what are people doing there at the airports to ensure that there's some sort of check there when people come in? And I would take it on slide 33, the lovely letter to Mr. Kumalo, where you indicate that he's going to get a refund. There'll be a similar letter to Mrs. Kumalo to say she has to pay tax and thank you for your obligations.
Okay, Mr. Mguni.
Thanks, sir. I think Mr. Singh has made a follow-up on the VAT issue. I just wanted to see if we can roughly quantify the impact on the revenue, what impact is going to have on the revenue. I know you can at the moment, it's difficult, but you can just roughly quantify. And the last chairperson, I think on this, the border control unit that has just been, that has just graduated. if it says it's stationed in the OR Tambo airport, won't we find a situation where develops tension between the SAPS and the border customs in territory issues?
Mr. Mlato. Sir, mine is just an interesting observation on VAT. During one of our hearings, I think on the budget, community organization were calling for zero rating of most basic stuff and even cutting the VAT rate. Business was calling for the increase in VAT rate certain commentators from the current 14% to 17%. I'm just saying that for me it's a very interesting observation. And I've heard a member saying that maybe we should also increase VAT on TV, you know. And on a lighter note, I was saying that once you do that, I might as well go to Botswana and carry one on my back and cross the border.
Thank you, Chair. We will pick up Mr. Nare's challenge on behalf of Mr. Makhshula, right? And we'll report to you next year and see how far we can go. But equally, Chair, if we have difficulties with the 100, we'll call Mr. Nare in to help us as well. So if we make it a two-way process, we don't mind. The Kosi Low, VAT threshold, and where we're going in that direction and escaping. It's not only the threshold that helps escaping, but let's see.
Yeah. As Mr. Marais said, the new threshold is not in place yet. That will only come into place in conjunction with the new sort of presumptive tax that we are planning for your smaller businesses, which will also be businesses with a turnover of less than R1 million. I'm not aware of any specific feedback that I've got that there's a different initiative now that people will hide behind the threshold now. Obviously, it might be so that if there are people who are just over the 300, which is the threshold at the moment, and who are not registered, it might be that they will not perhaps come forward and hang on until the new threshold is in place. But I haven't had any specific feedback that there is a big misuse around that at the moment.
But that doesn't mean that there's no abuse in terms of that. There's lots, and Mr. Pillay and Mr. McQuarquhar can give you some details about that. The Deputy Minister, Chair, will look at the VAT issues. After all, since it's all the political parties involved, we should leave it to a politician to address that.
Yes, I can see, you know, with good reason, this is a matter that seems to be enjoying a lot of attention. I think honourable members are approaching it from the point of view of trying to address some of the difficulties that are confronting a number of people in the light of increasing food prices. But one of the things that we said earlier is that this is a subject of a discussion to look at a comprehensive response to some of the challenges that are confronting South African socio-economic challenges. And also I think it's important that the issues of quantification, you know, one of the things that numbers do, numbers can either, what would one say, add clarity to issues under debate, but numbers also can ignite uncontrollable fires of passion, you know. So I think it's important that won't be useful at this point to be talking numbers, because numbers can be distorted, can ignite all sorts of things, and to a large extent can also begin to confuse sometimes a very, very important debate. So quantification might not be useful. And I think it's important for us to say, let's be patient. Let's look at the overall package that the South African government will have to be looking into. Quite obviously, there are complexities. Once you start having differentials in terms of treating a tax regime, that in itself adds a lot of burden. But at the end of the day, I think let's just exercise a bit of patience before we begin to deal with this matter. Because let's not want to muddy the waters by basically anticipating a particular response.
When you get back to Pretoria, the Deputy Minister, there is one official you must call to order, who started in a radio interview quantifying it, that if you zero a chicken, the fiscus will forego 4 billion.
No. One of the things I think also Honorable Moloto came up with a very, very example of potential distortions, you know, that may occur. And I think also there are distortions, but let's not talk about distortions, because it's very easy for someone to say National Treasury is saying this because they're conservative, there's some form of neoliberals and all that, but this is going to be a government response to issues. So let's basically be patient as far as that area is concerned.
and from our side we'll be disciplined. So you see, we're not mentioning any figures. despite all the provocation. No, and I think, as the Deputy Minister pointed out, the figures side and the policy decision belongs to the Ministry. If we ask us the question, will we be able to implement it? Well, as you know, we now have a record of doing the best we can. And I think this team will do the best it can to do to implement whatever policy decision is actually made. The customs forms, Mr. Singh, at the airport. Let me firstly say that it's regrettable that the incidents of mugging that have occurred have been reported in the way they have, because what that does is that it doesn't help insightful analysis or to track down root cause problems. Or ultimately create a situation where we have better safety for everyone who lands on our shores. But the ultimate concern that we all have, whichever agency it might be or Parliament itself, is that when we get visitors to South Africa, that they should be safe, they should be able to conduct their business in optimal safety, and that all the agencies of government do whatever they can to optimize their safety. The second point is that and my colleagues Leonard Hadebe and Jean Zavelle have gone into this thoroughly, there's no evidence whatsoever, despite one or two forms appearing on some newspaper pages, that there's a link between customs officials and what has happened. There is some evidence that the area in and around the airport, the public areas, are clearly areas that are utilized by people who want to make observations of whatever kind they can and want to. But there are also other facilities. People use shuttles, people use taxis, people use all sorts of things. And we need to look on a wider basis for where the problems lie. We now have a customs form that is being distributed. It has to be filled in. And remember, like any other form from the Revenue Service, this is a declaration. It is saying, I now declare I have this or I don't have this, including the TV you want to carry on your back. And once you sign that form, you are, and if you transgress it in any kind of way, then we have a legal basis to address that. If there isn't that kind of document, which is one that many countries in the world use, then we don't have a similar legal basis as well. Let me also emphasize that customs officials, as far as we know, are the only ones that don't carry cell phones on duty. So when you see them in the passenger section, they are not allowed to have their cell phones with them. So there's no way they can communicate outside. So I can assure you that, again, my colleagues have gone out of their way to make sure that we are not compromised in any kind of way around this. But equally, they've gone out of their way, and we always do, not necessarily always successfully, to ensure that the spirit of cooperative governance is practiced on the ground. So if we have more of it, I think we'll, as a country, we will perform better. And I think there's scope for us to actually do that. Mrs. Kumalo and anybody else will also receive a letter about amounts due, but we just wanted to talk about the upside. I mean, you know, we need some optimism in this country, so we thought we'll provide that with that slide. The Mr. Mguni, the CVCU, it again comes back to the spirit. The CVCU is not replacing anybody. The CVCU is what you find in any normal customs administration, in any decently run administration anywhere in the world, which is that you have the enforcement officers of a customs division or a customs agency at your front line. Whether that front line is an airport, a seaport, a land border post, a railway station, a post office, which receives international mail. But they need to be there. They have the Customs and Excise Act to implement, and that is the legal framework within which they actually perform their work. I've always told you that in South Africa, customs is and has been under-regarded, if you like, and not given the opportunity to exercise the full scope of his responsibilities because of the history that we've actually had. And all we're doing is strengthening the enforcement arm of customs. So at the moment, these 100-and-something colleagues are at the Oliver Tambo Airport, but as we graduate more and more and as we put them through the training, they will replace not replace, but be more prominent at every port of entry. And we will distinguish between back office people, enforcement people, and other types of technical skills, valuation skills, for example, that we will require within the customs domain. The key, Chair, is how we get all government agencies to realize that we all have enough work to do of our own without the one interfering with the other. And that if we can create this spirit of cooperative governance, we'll serve the country better at the end of the day. And that's all we try to achieve. We don't want to fight for turf. That isn't our job. But we would like to do our job as well as we can. And all we ask is that we have everybody's cooperation in that regard. If there is any difficulty, we'd prefer to sit around the table and talk about them and resolve them in a mature kind of way, and again within the spirit of the Constitution, so that we, again, at the end of the day, all of us provide a better service to both South Africans and people who actually visit us. And Mr. Moloto, good luck with your television.
When the commissioner says good luck, you are in serious trouble. You must know you are in serious trouble. That's the luck that comes from his side. That brings us then to the close of the session, and we thank you, Commissioner, and we as a committee would want to pledge our support for you and your team in your not-so-easy environment. And to echo what Mr. Malaya said, we also agree. I think you are doing a sterling job. And that is why it becomes difficult to be tough on you. Even when we want to, we can't. We wish you well in the implementation of the strategic plan that you've put before us. We trust that we will be able at least to hold you to account to the one for the previous financial year, seeing that all the targets for this one are outside of our term of office. But we'll try and make sure that at least we are able to hold you accountable for the previous one. Thank you. And
If I may, let me assure you that March 2009 is merely the end of our financial year. It has no other connotation. So since we're not in the political game, we'll just play by the rules on our side. But thank you on behalf of my colleagues, firstly to yourselves for this engagement. We value the fact that you hold us accountable, and I try, and all of us try, to remind each other that if democracy is going to work, then this process must work, and we must do what we can to enable you to have us account to you, but more importantly to bring you on board in terms of how our business runs, so that in fact you can be in a position to hold us more accountable. And thank you to the Deputy Minister, Chair, for finding the time to join us this morning as well. We appreciate your support. Just as a last word, Laird Halebe and his colleagues in customs do a sterling job in terms of confiscating things that shouldn't be getting into the country. So often in our hands we will find all sorts of things in our state's warehouses, including clothing and footwear and so on. And one of the things, in consultation with the Minister and Deputy Minister, I haven't looked recently, but they do go on sale at the auction. So in consultation with the Minister and Deputy Minister, we will be looking at is how, through our colleagues in social development, some of that clothing is available to people who find themselves in distress at the moment in Gauteng. But we'll be working on that in the next few days. Thank you, Chair.
And that's quite a welcome initiative. I trust that you get.